Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
How are local school districts preparing for fall? Dr. Richard Hughes joining us live, superintendent of Frontier Central Schools. Dr. Hughes, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Did you get some clarity yesterday from the State Education Department and the governor?
Between the governor, state ed, and the Department of Health, I think we've had a pretty good idea of what it would need to look like. What we did get clarity on is what numbers are attached to opening and closing. I think that gives us an idea that is objective versus, you know, wondering, should we be open, should we close? So the infection rates and having those numbers attached gives us a really good idea of, will we be open or not?
Looking at, obviously, you can't tell the future and what the numbers will say at that point, but looking at what we know now with what was announced yesterday, are you kind of assuming that you will be in class come the fall?
At this point, based on a 1% infection rate and that, you know, it needs to be about 5% for them not to make the decision the first week of August, then it has to get up to 9% for it to close. We assume that we're going to be open and going. Some of the rules in place, you know, we've had committees already meeting, over 100 people meeting on our committees and subcommittees. And one of the questions is, well, students have to wear masks. What about adults? Well, that's taken care of. That is laid out in the guidance very clearly. Things like taking temperatures of every individual that comes in. That's going to be time and cost expensive, but those are the kind of things that we're planning. You know, we're planning different entrances for parents to drop off versus our buses. And then just planning buses is going to be a difficult procedure. And we've already been working on it before this guidance, but this guidance gives us a little more clarity, but also tells us how much work we have to do in the next 2 weeks before we have to submit our plan.
Just on the transportation aspect of it, how are you working with this? Are you thinking more staggered starts, or how are you going to do this?
Basically, every idea under the sun. The group of superintendents here in Erie One BOCES, I'm fortunate enough to be in that group of such an amazing group of superintendents. We have conversations multiple times a week about what if this, what if that, you know, different ideas people are using. So we're looking at every scenario. Do you flip when, do you do more routes like you mentioned? Is it possible to squeeze more routes in? Do we have to expand, you know, right now for Frontier, our high school starts at 7:15, our middle school, then the buses go out, grab the middle schoolers, and then they go back out again and do the elementary school. So is there a way for us to stagger those even more so? Do we need to flip them? One question we're going to be asking all of our parents is we're going to poll all of our parents and ask, what do you think? Are you willing to, or do you want to? Because, you know, as a parent of four young kids myself, I could see dropping them off versus having them ride the bus. My perspective is, well, if they don't ride the bus, that means that's more seats available for other kids who may not have the option of having a parent drop them off and pick them up from school. So we're going to be asking our parents those kind of pieces. The survey that the superintendents did, the 17 school districts, showed that about half the parents were interested in doing that. So, you know, we'll take every piece we can, and and figure out how to make it happen.
Was there any sense of relief for you in those guidelines? It seems like the state is allowing a little bit of wiggle room when it comes to social distancing inside the classroom. They kind of, you know, made that point of wherever possible, you know, be flexible, try and create as much space, but they seem to be understanding of the limitations of a lot of buildings.
Yeah, it's right on the money. Having the numbers the governor mentioned and then the regulations that State Ed has in place and those other kind of pieces, including the social distancing, those. So whether we're hybrid, whether we're online partly or hopefully in September we're fully together, but that all is based on not only social distancing, but it's also based on people wearing masks. And right now, as we look at numbers in the county and the area, we're seeing young people, 20 to 39, their infection rates are going up. So that's the part that worries me, is we can do the social distancing as much as we can. We don't have tons of room in classrooms. I mean, they're built about between 900 and 1,200 square feet each. You can't spread every kid out in a 20-person classroom 6 feet. It's just not possible. So kids will have to wear masks. We'll keep them as social distance as possible. We'll change our lunch routines. We'll do phys ed differently. And we have an awesome physical education department that's way ahead of the game on that. And, you know, we'll do whatever we can. But it's people wearing their masks when they go out and about and accepting that they do have a role to play in all this. As somebody who had COVID, I was fortunate enough that it wasn't bad enough for me to have to go to the hospital or even my doctor. We were conversed over the phone. But I was locked away in my bedroom for a week and a half dealing with those symptoms. It's not a nice flu. It is not something that's very simple. It knocked me in my butt pretty well.
What happens when someone in the school tests positive? Do you have a protocol?
That's the question. That's the really big question. It comes down to, are we following department health guidelines? I know you have Dr. Bernstein on later. She's been great to talk to and work with and just figure out the details that are coming. But the State Department of Health says if somebody's tested, who needs to quarantine, that cohort idea of, you know, let's keep all the kids in this classroom, just in this classroom and not change classes. That makes tons of sense. So if somebody does, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a student, does come down with symptoms and does have a positive test, it's more contained than, you know, the classic high school example is we all went to high school, we all changed classes 7, 8, 9 times a day. That scenario would cause, if somebody's positive, would cause a farther issue for tracing who had contact with who. So we're looking at how do we minimize that. And I think every school district, those are going to be some of the challenges because kids are going to want to be kids at the same time. You know, you can see them in neighborhoods now hanging out with friends. You know, my little ones need to do so too. They're missing that social interaction. But how do you weigh that versus the dangers of it? That's going to be challenging for a school district.
We're speaking with Frontier Central School Superintendent Dr. Richard Hughes on WBEM Buffalo. You mentioned that social interaction, you know, it's so important. We know that every school district, every teacher tried their best when it came to distance learning. Looking at how that played out at the back half of last year and then the potential for that moving forward, if that does have to be re-implemented, should parents expect that to work maybe a little bit differently than it did over, you know, the last few months where it worked at the end of last school year?
I certainly hope so. You know, as a proponent of helping our education system move a little bit forward and blended learning and personalizing learning for every single student, that happening in March and having so many teachers, administrators, and schools have to dive into something and basically dive into one-to-one learning, one device to one student that quickly, it takes a long amount of time. It takes a couple years to really develop curriculum, really make those things happen, to have a true blended learning, personalized learning classroom. I think there's a lot of lessons we learned There were automatically some teachers who have been using those kind of pieces, but in a classroom setting, so it was much easier for them and their students to learn from that. But at the same time, what is good for one student or what works for one student, some students are self-motivated and they just want to go, okay? Blended learning and online learning probably works a lot more for them. But a student who needs that personal connection, which is probably most of our kids, and the adults need that too, that connection. So when you have a question, you have an issue, sometimes it's not, a student won't ask. How many times have you been in a meeting or even in class and somebody asks, so how'd it go? Did y'all get this? And everybody just kind of nods their heads and says, yes. Well, our kids do the same thing. And without a teacher to be there in front of them or on the side of them to see that change in their face, their demeanor, to know, well, you know what, little Johnny didn't get that. I need to sit down with him and double check and make sure he understands this. That's a challenge. And for parents, even as a science educator myself, before I moved into administration, all of a sudden they're thrown in to have to help educate their child. And they're not trained to do so. So hopefully, if we do have to go back to more of the digital piece, it'll be better than it was before across our school districts. But at the same time, people just keep their masks on and keep their social distancing going on, we can get into the school year and through the school year with the precautions that are there.
Flexibility seems to be the key, though, going forward.
That's the word. It's you know, the three plans we're basically looking at are, you know, we're in person. We have kind of a hybrid model. The hybrid model may be, you know, some kids in school, some kids not in school. Maybe it's the elementary kids. Maybe it's our special ed kids or E&L students. The high school students, you know, they're probably a little more self-motivated or should be at that point in time. And they're taking a course that ends at the end of the year and then goes on to the next course. They're not as bigger foundational skills. And then it's the fully online piece. I'm optimistic. I'm more optimistic after the news conferences yesterday and the Board of Regents meeting than I was at the beginning of the day, knowing that we have a number, that if we can keep things below that number, our kids can be in school.
Well, it's good that we have some good news to talk about for once. Richard, thanks so much for joining us and spending the time, and good luck moving forward with these plans. It's Frontier Central School Superintendent Richard Hughes joining us live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.